This is for the Black Heritage Project in the Upper Piedmont. It's September 24th, 1990, and I'm talking to Brenda Knox. And this is tape two. Brenda, we were talking on tape one about religion, and mm-hmm. we had gotten onto J.J. Starks and Seneca Institute. I think we covered most of that. We can pick up anything else in education later. What about other churches important in the community? You mentioned the Methodist and Baptist. Were there any others that you can remember?
Well, from mainly listening to my family, let's mm-hmm. say, for the most part, they attended Ebenezer, evidently from the time they mm-hmm. moved from Pickens.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, they had lived over on the other side of town for a while, so it was like that was a regular thing, just within walking distance, and you know, that was just their regular church that they use. Now, other churches in the area, there are...
I know now there are a lot, but I just met back then. Do you know of any other denominations?
Ours was one of
then?
The oldest, because we celebrated our 107th anniversary this past March.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been one of the oldest. Now, I don't know how many others were mm-hmm. already established. At the time it was established, but at the time my parents and grandparents were young, that was the church that they frequented.
Okay. Are there any churches that you know of that are no longer active that were?
No, I can't think of any right off. Most of them that kind of, as the congregations diminished and people began to move away, some of them combined with each other. As more people moved from out of the rural areas and into the city, as such, you know, they kind of brought the churches with them. It sounds kind of different, but yeah, you know what I mean. It's like we don't have any more people living up in this area. Most of our members now live in Seneca or nearer to Seneca, let's move, or Wahala, Westminster, wherever the situation was. But I don't know of any that were just completely disappeared as such or abandoned.
How about cemeteries? Did most or any of the churches?
Now, several of the churches have always, for as long as I can remember hearing about, have had their own cemeteries. But there were like two main cemeteries other than church-owned, and that's one at Oak Grove, which is like downtown Seneca, and the other one is out off Friendship Road, and it's called, but it's out that way, down there. So those two are the main ones here in the area, and then, of course, more recently, they've begun to use Oconee Park, but the older ones, most of our family would be at Oak Grove.
How about camp meetings? Not for you,
yeah.
But back then, did you hear them talk about it? That was a great experience
from what I recall of listening to them share things with each other and with me, talking about different times that they would go. It was like really a big thing. I do remember like the last few of them that they had, they would talk about going over to one near Central. And I remember going to one or two of those when I was really young. And then sometimes they'd be like off in the other directions, like going down towards Anderson in that direction. But yeah, that was a big thing. And it was like a church reunion kind of thing. People would come home, what you call it, maybe homecomings kind of thing,
right.
And everybody pack up lunch and go and have service and eat and stay all day and afternoon service. Yeah, it was a really
good thing. That's what I was going to ask you. Did they ever stay overnight?
Now, I don't know about staying overnight. Now, that may have been the possibility in earlier years that it was, you know, it was like because traveling the way they did, it would take a long time to get there and a long time to get back, so it might have been just as easy. And that may have been why the name came about, camp, meaning you just would go and stay all day, spend the night, you know, maybe just kind of camp out or stay muck with each other and that kind of stuff, and then go back the next day.
What time of year were they that do you remember hearing them talk about?
I don't remember any specifics, but it seems like it was more so in the fall, maybe, than in the spring. It's like it was a new year kind of thing coming in. And
the fall season.
Fall season, you know, the end of harvest, all around harvest time, because everybody, like I said, would bring food. So you'd have what you had grown in your gardens or had canned and were ready and available.
Who led the services? Did you ever hear any names mentioned?
No, I don't remember any specifics. It would, from what I could gather, it was generally whomever was the regular minister at the church, because it was usually near a church, near like a home, family, home church kind of thing. Like you'd say, well, yeah, we all came out of Pickens County, so we'd all be at some such one or two of the churches, major churches where most of the family attended. Kind of like a reunion is now, I think.
I've been at singing conventions.
I remember hearing a lot about that because my mother and father were president and leaders of the choir at our church. So, and my mother was in charge of the gospel, what they call a gospel chorus convention. And well, it was always before my time. I always wondered why I never got to go, but evidently it was pretty widespread, and that they would travel all over the state, like, you know, at least as far as Columbia, Greenwood, down through that way, Aiken, Anderson, Abbeville, all through Rock Hill, everywhere around in the state, and different choirs would be from those different areas. And it was like a big concert or big competition.
I was going to say, didn't they compete?
Yeah, it was like different choirs. They kind of competed. I don't know that you had like trophies and that kind of stuff, or a winner as such, but several other different choirs from the different areas. And they were not strictly just church choirs, because here in Seneca, there were members of all the different churches around formed like one community kind of choir. And they all traveled around in a big bus when they could get a bus, and some of them had cars and that kind of stuff. So I remember hearing them talk about that. That was like a great fun thing. And even some of the members now that are still sometimes will talk about how much they enjoyed it. So evidently it was a really special thing. Because I remember my mom talking about Mr. Steve Green was the bus driver.
Did you ever hear of any leaders of the convention? I'm sorry, you were going to tell me something about Steve Green.
No, I was saying like he was the bus driver. Yes. You know, he drove for him and sang too. Now I know that they had officers for each of the different groups, and then like your regional. I don't know if he had regional officers as such, but they would just kind of interchange, and it was like a regular schedule kind of thing. You went here, and then you went someplace. You know, you visited each other, but then, like, everybody would come to, say, Greenwood. I don't know if it's like annually, but I think it was probably more often than just annually, but maybe a quarterly, you know. And they'd give you time to regroup and go back and go to a different place the next time.
Did they sing notes? I heard that they sang notes.
Now, my grandmother, I remember my grandmother saying that she and my grandfather and her husband used to sing with groups that sang notes. Now, I have heard some groups that would sing notes. Like when I was little, I remember there was a group out of over at Clemson up around Wahala that used to do it. But I don't recall my mother or father ever saying that they themselves had sang with that kind of group. But I do remember my mother's mother and my mother's father did.
Did your mother or father or grandparents have favorite songs that they liked to sing?
Well, I don't.
You don't remember anyone?
I don't remember anyone particular. I remember my grandmother telling me one time that she liked Softly and Tenderly, but there was never any reason why. It was just a favorite song of hers that she had mentioned. I remember once, but
back then, did they have any groups within the church, like men's or women's groups that you knew of?
Oh, yes.
They did? What were they?
Like the Missionary Society, that was generally women. My mother was one of the early presidents of the organization at our church. You had, of course, your deacon board and your trustees. My father was involved mm-hmm. with those. And then the choirs, and when they organized the junior choir or youth choir, my mother was one of the early organizers and participated. She sang, of course, when she was younger on that. And then and within the Missionary Society, you had individual circles as such, and that still exists today. And you had other groups called the Jolly Workers, which is ladies. Yeah, there were many different groups and committees sure. within the congregation itself. Of course, some of the congregations that were small, you had a lot of the same people, a lot of the same different committees. But that's usual. That's like today, too.
Yeah, not far enough. How about school? Where did your father attend, say, grade school? What was his first school?
Well, he attended grade school here in Oconee County. Now, I think he grew up like around down where St. Paul is, which is off 59 down Fairplay community. Mm-hmm. His family, his father and stuff owned property down through that way, and I assumed that was kind of where he grew up. After he got out of grade school, now I don't know if the school he attended was there at the church, because most of the churches mm-hmm. provided a room for the grade for the schools. So they'd go to school and say in maybe a little second room, and some of them it was just the same main sanctuary where they met and had school.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday you had service. So, and then in some of the other areas, say here in Seneca, they had actual separate facility.
Right, they had more like one room now, schoolhouse.
Yeah. Now, my mother, I remember my mother mentioning that she attended grade school. One was right out here on Pine Street. Right across from where Mr. Watson lives, I believe, where that double apartment. Yeah, where that double apartment is
right.
Now, that was where she would always say that was a graded, they always referred to it as the graded school. I never,
yeah.
But that was what
they called it,
the graded school. And she attended there for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. And then they finished what is now, well, when I came through, it was East End Elementary School. It became Oconee County Training School, mm-hmm. which is over here on off 2nd and Perry Avenue.
That's where she
was. Now that's called a preschool, I think, now. But that they eventually built that, and that became like the, like a middle school kind of, just an advancement. It was going to be the new high school, I think,
mm-hmm.
for the black children. And I think my mother attended there for a few months, and then they had finished Seneca Institute. It was called Seneca Institute at that time. And so she just went on and transferred from there. So she graduated from Seneca Institute rather than from the high school, as such, the graded school. And basically that was the only ones that I know of. Now, I have another cousin on the Sizemore side that had taught at one down around Oakway. And they had a school down there. I'm not sure if it was a part of one of the churches or not, but it was just a little, because she would talk about that, one or two room school with several age groups in the same class together, and you just kind of work through it.
Where did your father go after grade school?
After he graduated, now I'm not sure where he graduated, like high school,
mm-hmm.
but when he left here, he went to college at, it was kind of a part of Shaw, where Shaw University is now in Raleigh, but it was called Leonard Medical School. And that's where he got his medical degree there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure exactly what year he graduated, but it had to be like really early 1900s. It had to be 1898 through 1902, something like that,
mm-hmm.
because my mother was born in 1910. And I think he was already graduated and was back in the area by that time, because that would have made him like 20, 30 years old. So I'm sure it was like his late teens, early 20s when he had finished.
So that's where he went for the first train. Didn't he go to New York later for some more?
Yeah, I understand from some other relatives that he and I don't know if it was one of his brothers or some had during school or between school, had kind of gone to the city to work and had taken done some studying too, I think. But I know they went off and worked and then for like in the summers, I guess you'd say.
How was he able to go to college? Where did the money come from? Did he put himself through? Did he work through?
I don't know. It may have been just a combination of both because, like, his father owned some property and farmed, so it could have been a part of that. So I'm sure there was some money available. Well, at the time, you know, it seemed a lot, but I guess now it wouldn't have been a lot of money. But if you were able to generate some, say, through your farming,
and he probably
I really don't know. I never really thought about it. How he did it.
Well, we're interested
but in I do remember that they had mentioned that.
Yeah, we always like to ask how they did things back then.
He had worked some, so that may have been part of it.
That's what I was thinking. Probably had a job or something while they went.
And I don't know, the association itself may have been the churches.
Oh, the church.
The Baptist Association. Sometimes they would help out. And because I remember my mother once or twice saying something like that was why he was so concerned. And after he graduated and got back as a part of the trustee board of that with Seneca Institute to start that. So that could have been a part of paying back, you know, in a way to help let somebody else get some education, a little higher education in just a graded school without having to.
Right. How about your grandparents? You know anything at all about their school?
I don't recall them ever saying. Most everybody would always just refer to like graded school, and how far that actually meant, I don't know.
Right.
I do remember that my grandmother talked about it. They would pick cotton and stuff around in the area, but I don't know that it was like in lieu of an education, because you hear of others sometimes saying, well, they weren't ever allowed to go to school because they had to work. I don't know that she had to, but that was like a part of income. You know, that was some income, too.
How about college? Who was the first person in your family that you know of that attended college? How far back does that go?
Well, I guess it would have, on my father's side, it would have to have been his generation, I would assume, would have been his. He and
him
a couple
and
of brothers and sisters, because I think two of them were like, two of the sisters were teachers or something.
That's right. He wasn't the oldest. He was down in the stair stepping, so it probably would be an older brother or sister that went
and
before
see,
him.
And see, one of the brothers was a pharmacist, I think, and so there had to have been some training there from them, and I really think that a couple of the sisters were or teachers, or
so
had some advanced education.
You think one of them probably graduated college before he did?
I would think if not graduate college, what Seneca Institute was like high school kind of thing, maybe a junior college situation. What we think of now, I guess.
To your knowledge, this is something that you may not even know, but in his home. That several went to college, he did, and he became a doctor. Do you know whether they had books at home?
Oh, yeah, that was,
They had
from what I, you know, from what I have gathered, that was a regular part of it, and
about
a lot of different books
and magazines,
yeah,
that kind of thing. So they really had, they were literate.
We tore down their family home, which was next door to our house. We found all kinds of magazines and old newspapers, you know, really way back. You'd think, well, maybe since the house was, because the new house was built in 48, the last house was built, in 48, and so this house had been there, I don't know when it was built, but it had been there for a long time. So evidently they had, when they were still living in there, they had left some things, like up in the attic or whatever, and really hadn't thought about it. So we did, we found a lot of things and records from like church records and that kind of stuff. And so, yes, they were well read. And
tell me where that family home was again. I think we already have that on tape, but I just want to make sure.
Okay, now my father's family home was on Oak Street.
Okay, I think we do that.
current house there is 305, okay. And there before that house was built in 48, there was a big two-story white house that was in the same lot as such, on the same address. And I think that's kind of where he, I don't know if he grew up there or if that's just a house that he moved into or built after leaving the Fair Play area, is what I assume. Because I think he and a brother, because there was another house across the street.
Right.
Across the street, I understand. Yeah, on Oak Street. There was another house across the street where one of the other brothers lived.
Oh, I see.
And then that one brother, after he got married, I understand, moved, stayed for a while, but then moved away. And so I never really heard of what happened to that brother.
I was going to say, what happened to the house? You said
well, the house was eventually torn down.
Oh, was? Okay. I just wonder what had happened to it. From hearing what they said, or if they even discussed it, did you hear of any, if white schools were different from black schools back then?
Like well, I think that was like the, that was kind of like the understanding, I guess. I don't know that any of them would have known, like, firsthand so much, except from their association with the other other white children of their age group. My grandmother on my mother's side did, like, domestic work. Sometimes she would, you know, go, like, clean, cook, or take care of different children, and they all kind of grew up together, the Richardson family here in Seneca. One of them's a doctor, and he and my mother worked together at Oconee Hospital after a while because she was a nurse in the newborn nursery, and he was one of the doctors, but they had grown up kind of together. And how much, you know, exchange would go on as to the differences between their school and one school and the other. I really don't know that there was, you know, I was never given anything other than just an impression that you knew that it was different. The facilities, obviously, and
maybe like
books.
In
the time, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that was just, I guess, right. Accepted.
What about some of your older relatives, either your grandparents or your father? What kind of organizations did they belong to? Like, fraternal or burial societies or sewing clubs and that kind of thing.
My grandmother and grandfather on my mother's side, Sizemore, they were, he and his brothers and stuff, most of them were members, say, of what's called the Masons. And my grandmother was an Eastern Star, which is like the sister organization to that. But my mother never wanted to join. I don't know why she never joined. She just never appealed to her. But I do remember my grandmother saying she had been a member, and my grandfather had been members, and some of the other uncles on that side. Now, on my father's side, I'm not sure. I don't know, because like, they were mostly older. So,
what about Dr. Sharp himself or your daddy?
I'm not sure. I think he was a Mason here. I would just, you know, I really would have to ask, because by me not being a part of the organization myself, I don't know a lot of their history. But, you know, some of the people in the area might would know a little more.
Yeah. Like, you don't know anything about who the leaders were or who they were?
No.
Okay. Do you know if any members of your family voted in the 19th century? Do you have any idea about that, or if they ever talked about voting?
I don't know. I never thought about that. That's interesting. I don't know.
How about the first member of your family?
I never thought of it. Well, I know my mother always voted, and I just grew up thinking that's an automatic thing you're supposed to do, because the age limit was changed right after I became 18. So it was just something in mind, but I always go with my mother. And she would go.
So it was
and
an
vote.
Understanding
so
in your family.
I know she
votes.
Did.
You know she
and that's just a, that's
you don't
just
know
a regular
voted or...
part. But I assume he did. You know, I never really thought about it.
Well, as a doctor, I'm probably
yeah,
an outstanding
sure
member of the community.
Because my mother was registered. Now, how long ago she was able to register, I don't know. And like with him, that'd be interesting to find out. I never really thought about it.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. Yeah. We've gotten interesting answers. Do you know if any of your ancestors were free before the Civil War?
Now that I don't know. I've never been able to trace anybody beyond that. I haven't gone into, you know, files and that. So I really don't know.
Right. So you don't know if there were differences?
Beyond my father, especially on my father's side, my father and his father, I don't know who or where that changed or how much it
was.
Well,
your father, because your father wasn't, and your grandpa wasn't a slave either, was he?
No, not that I know of, no.
So you don't know where.
And see, like on my mother's side, it would have been maybe two generations back.
Right.
So I really don't know. And even in the research that was done for the on the Sizemore side, they really weren't able to find any definite proof of any slaves. Now, how far back they went, how far they were able to go back, I'm really not sure. But I think they were able to go back at least to the 1860s. So I don't know where that change would have come in there.
How about... you're so much younger that you may not have heard any of this, but did you ever hear any of your older relatives talk about the way white people treated blacks with anything? And I'm not talking about today.
Well, I do recall there was a lynching that went on in this area that was like a focal point from, say, early 1900s that would be mentioned every so often. I don't remember who the person was, but it was someone that everyone kind of knew, and everybody knew of the incident. And it was just like a, you know, kind of a mentioning here or there, and then that would be it. But no details as to, you know, why they believed it occurred or who did it, you know, that kind of thing. It was just some that kind of thing. But other than that, from what I could always gather, it was mostly rather civil.
Mm-hmm.
And that, especially since, with my father. My father was a doctor, and he had patients of all races. So, and I've heard people who would tell me about him that they liked him, you know, and would go to nobody but him, you know. So that let me think, well, in some situations, it must not have been too bad. But on the other hand, I'm realistic enough to know that.
Let's get back to your father in that a minute. That's interesting to me that, you know, this is not the first time I've heard it because Charles Watson mentioned it too. Your father had white patients and had quite a few. Do you know how that happened or what started that or why? I mean, I don't know.
Well, in my household, that was just a regular part of it. He was a doctor. People needed a doctor.
And there was no compunction. And whites didn't stay
white. I don't recall of any incident of my mother relating to me where he, because, you know, you made house calls. He'd get a call or somebody would come to the house and say, well, we need a doc. We need a doctor. Doc, come with me. He would go. But I don't recall my mother ever mentioning any kind of incident where somebody realized that he was black and say, no. He had mixed patients.
Yeah, the impression that I have is that he almost had them. I mean, they were looking for him as a doctor to go. You're black. Kind of thing.
Right. You know, I have heard some of the former patients themselves, who over the years did maybe because he died in '56. Well, he had treated them some previous time, and especially when I was still little, a lot of people would still come to the house looking for him who did not know that he had died.
Really.
And they would say, what? He's the only doctor I've ever had, you know. And I got sick. I wanted to come, you know. And so that did, you know, let me know. Well.
So obviously there was no color barrier with him being a doctor.
As far as I've never heard of any incident that occurred that would have been he was treated some different way. Now, even at the hospital. I understand that the doctors there at the hospital had always told him that if he wanted, you know, if he needed to use the operating room or any of the facilities there at the hospital, he was welcome to use whatever he needed. Now, I don't know that he ever, pushed it. I think the tradition was that if you had to send someone, you kind of had a second opinion kind of thing, or you referred them to another doctor. But from what I've heard my mother say, that the doctors would tell him all the time, Dr. Sharp, you're welcome to use whatever you need. Your patients use our facilities just like, now, of course, the hospital rooms were segregated.
Yeah, back then, the patients, now, were they even able to go to the same hospital? Yeah, I didn't know.
Now, I don't know of there being a separate hospital here from 1900 on. I do know that within the hospital, you've had separate facilities.
Floors or rooms?
For a time, there were like floors, because even the new hospital, once the new hospital was built, you had like one wing.
Oh,
that was
okay.
The black wing, and it was like second floor was where the OB was. So you had to use OB facilities, and the operating room was on the first floor. So second floor on one wing was considered black. And then later on, early 60s, I guess, they made that change. But in the old hospital, I remember my mom mentioning that, yes, because my father even spent some time.